The readings for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the Spirit of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage, again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do? Because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do. That when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? And he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. And he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely, for the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. For as much as he had done wisely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, whenever this gospel comes around each year, there is a little bit of confusion. It's not an easy one to decipher. We can understand the parable. The story is very clear. But we have difficulty understanding why our Lord seems to indicate that the unjust steward should be commended. After all, it can't have been in his master's intentions to forgive all those debts that he amended. You could imagine if you're an employer and one of your employees called up all your customers and said, you now only have to pay half of what you pay for the product. You would have a word with your employee. And yet we see that the unjust steward is commended for his acts. Now the answer to our problem lies in the final words of our Lord, when he's relating the parable. He says, And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. Now, the unjust steward was praised for his worldly wisdom, for acting in a crafty, thinking manner. It was clever what he did. Now, in this, of course, our Lord is abstracting from the morality of his actions, the injustice of his actions, because our Lord's purpose in telling the parable is not to speak about justice or sins against justice. His purpose was to encourage us to perform alms deeds. Since the possessions that we claim as our own really ultimately belong to God, and we are more custodians to deal with them and to use them well in this life, to use them to pay for our sins, to do acts of charity. And therefore Christ tells us to be wise and prudent in these things, in these worldly goods, to use them wisely, as the unjust steward did. Now, unfortunately, the opposite of this is the case for us. The people of the world, they work harder in their material ends to gain material things, much more so than do we to gain an eternal crown. And that is the great tragedy, and that's what our Lord is saying. Act as these people. It's like St. Paul when he speaks of the reward that is given to an athlete. Run that you may attain the prize. Be like an athlete. The athlete only gets a material crown. We're working for an immaterial crown, a supernatural crown, an eternal crown. And so we ought to act with even greater concern, greater craftiness, greater zeal, greater effort. Now, when we hear such passages, we do have to be careful with them, especially speaking of worldly goods. The idea that there should be some sort of artificial distribution, like communism, for instance, that is against justice. And it does not fix injustice in the world. What fixes injustice in the world is virtue. And so there is a greater need, not so much to steal the hard-earned wealth of the wealthy and to distribute it amongst the poor, but there's a greater need to help the world to form virtue so that the wealthy may give in almsgiving to the poor. That is the true attitude. However, throughout history, men, and we can call them false prophets, just like was announced in last Sunday's gospel, they like to make declarations that the gospel does not support in this regard. What our Lord is focusing on here is a detachment from worldly goods. In other words, let not these be our chief concern, our chief focus. Let us not spend all of our efforts just for the goods or the advancement of this world, but look to the next. Use the goods that we have been given. Be prudent in them. Be wise. How can they help me to get to heaven? How can they help me to become a saint? That is the question that we must ask. And if indeed we treasure the grace that God has given to us, if indeed we see our baptism as a tremendous gift, the faith that we have received as a tremendous gift, membership in Christ, sanctification, if these are our treasures, then, as our Lord is indicating, let us act accordingly. We have to call upon heaven to inspire us with great cunning, great craftiness, so that we may be wise as serpents, as our Lord says in another passage. In other words, let nothing stand between us and our eternal salvation. This is the detachment that our Lord wants of us. It doesn't mean that we must all live as religious, making the vow of poverty, so that we have no goods to our name. But let us take them, as St. Ignatius says, if they are useful to us and help us to get to heaven and use them accordingly. And let us leave them aside if they're not going to help us in our journey towards heaven. That's the detachment. Now, there's another passage in today's gospel which needs some explanation, and it illuminates this point further. It appears at the very end when our Lord tells his disciples, "Make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings." Now, I said it gives us trouble, and it does in a way. What does it our Lord mean by saying, "Make friends among the mammon of iniquity"? It seems like these should be the ones we avoid. These should be the things that we avoid. And yet there is an illumination that comes from it. For the mammon of iniquity, mammon is a Syriac word which signifies riches. And although here it is given a negative connotation, in other words, the riches that are often an occasion for evil, nevertheless, we can make friends with the mammon of iniquity by using our riches for the good. In other words, helping those that are in need, or using them as means of paying for our sins by giving them an almsgiving. You know, there is a virtue to that. When the collection basket comes around during the offertory, you are performing an act of virtue by giving your little donation. And that's why it's not a bad thing, too, for the children. You know, the little boys and girls who may not have a coin to put into the collection plate, it's not a bad thing to teach your children at a young age how to have that generosity and that desire to give by giving them something to give. The collection basket comes around, and the little boy, he now has the ability to do an act of virtue in conjunction with the offertory, the oblation of the Mass. And of course, it gives his little act a lot more value. I remember as a young man working, I went to my father and I asked him, "How much should I be giving to the church?" And my father gave me some advice. And he told me, "Well, set a portion aside after you get your take-home pay. You've got that portion set aside for your taxes. For the rest of that, take a section of that. You know, whatever you think should be just. You know, there is the traditional tithe, the tenth, but it's not necessarily a standard or a law for all. But, you know, you take and you set that portion aside. And so at the end of each week on Friday, when I got my paycheck, I had to calculate everything out so that I have something to give on Sunday. You know, it's a very good attitude to have and to develop in the young. This desire to give. And what we always discover is that the more that we give, oftentimes, the more that we receive. You know, if we are miserly, we can even be poor and miserly. And that's such a tragic attitude. Because we are attached to the little and to the things that we don't even have, we are attached to. We are attached to air, attached to nothingness. And what kind of damage does that do to our spiritual life? How can we seek for the things that we cannot see when we are so attached to things we cannot see? And going in the other direction. And of course, there is a tremendous recompense to ourselves when we give alms, when we detach ourselves from the things of this world. What we discover is that we get so much more in things that are more valuable. You know, we give alms and we offer up those alms to God as an oblation for our sins, and we get the forgiveness of our sins. We get grace, which makes us holier. We get the prayers of the poor, who will never forget us in heaven for the acts of charity that we have performed. And for performing acts of mercy, we get mercy from God, the one thing we desperately need, because we are sinners. And so in a way, the rich hereby can benefit the more in this regard. It's their special power. If we have some excess wealth, it's our special power to be able to help those that are in need and to detach ourselves from it. Now, placed in this context, understanding what our Lord is saying by these two passages, commending the unjust steward for as much as he acted wisely, and also telling his disciples, telling his hearers, make friends among the mammon of iniquity, it gives us an understanding of what is to follow. And so what's not included in the gospel today, these verses 10 to 14, I'll read them for you, and they will become a little more apparent what our Lord is getting at because of what came before. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is greater. And he that is unjust in that which is little is unjust also in that which is greater. If then you have not been faithful in the unjust mammon, who will trust you with that which is true, which is the true? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what is our Lord saying in this? If we are faithful with the goods that were given in this life, practicing that detachment and using them for the advancement, for our spiritual advancement, giving them out in acts of charity to our neighbor, this little charge, the little charge, the little thing that we have been given, we have been faithful in. And therefore, we will be given so much more, that is, eternal happiness. Therefore, especially addressing the Pharisees who were covetous of earthly goods and mammon, he says, be willing to give up your earthly goods and riches for the sake of your neighbor, for you will thereby serve your true master in heaven, gaining his favor, grace, and salvation. Again, you've been faithful in the little, you will be rewarded the more. And then he says also, if you have not been faithful in that which was another's, i.e., something that really didn't belong to us. Again, we are custodians of our material goods. Then who will give you that which is your own? Will you receive your reward in heaven? Or rather, will you have lost it because you were unfaithful in these goods which were not your own? We will not be given a kingdom if we hoard this little kingdom that we have here below. My dear friends, the message is very plain. There is really only one thing in this life which is important for us, and that is the service of God and the salvation of our soul. Everything else is secondary, and everything else is subordinated to that. And if we see it in that light, then a lot of things fall into place. For instance, the great effort that we make towards making money, the great concern that we may have that dominates all other thoughts, the anxieties over our financial well-being. You know, even the finances of the family that can sometimes dominate the thoughts of a father of a family so much that his prayers are distracted. We have to put everything into its proper context. In a way, none of that matters, especially in comparison with my present relationship with God. Am I in a state of friendship with God? Am I not? That's the only question we need to answer, because that's going to determine our eternal reality, our eternal life, whether we are in heaven or hell. We certainly understand and see this popping up again and again in the lives of the saints. I will illuminate Saint Our Lady and Saint Joseph particularly. Now, it was not absolutely necessary that the Holy Family be poor, live in poverty and obscurity, and yet we see a tremendous divine wisdom in the fact that that was so. In other words, they chose to live in that poverty and obscurity. They chose this path because for them, this life's goods and all of the other vanities of this world could not compare with the good of the holy will of God. And that's the mysterious truth that we see running throughout the spiritual life of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, this attachment to the will of God. That is what is most important. And so for this latter end, no efforts, no discomforts, no inconveniences were considered too burdensome to bear, for they were wise. They had the wisdom of the unjust steward. And even more so, the unjust steward, he worked for only a temporal reward. Our Lady and Saint Joseph, they were working for an eternal reward, and as we know, they achieved it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.